Fred, I'm so glad that you're here. Welcome to the Thursday edition of Mark and Friends right here on Great News Radio. You probably don't want to touch that dial. You don't want to change the station because we got a special guest in studio today, Dr. Charles Stanley. Oh, yes. He's going to be talking about his new book, Emotions, coming up here in a few moments. But Fred, how you doing? How's the week coming along? You hanging in there? Are you enjoying the cooler temperatures? I've been having to wear a jacket to work this week, and I have not liked it one bit. You know, I may be wearing a jacket, but in my mind, it's still summertime. Amen? That's right. Well, friends, so good to be spending some time with you today on this Thursday, already October the 24th, 2013. And just taking a look at some of the events happening here the next couple of days, by the way, as we get ready for Dr. Stanley to sit down and get hooked up. Coming up on Sunday, you're invited to a Trunk or Treat Crock Potluck coming up at the First United Methodist Church in Champaign. Again, Sunday from 5 to 8. Include treats, dinner, and a movie. Get more details on that by visiting our website. Also, the Calvary Baptist Church in Monticello will have a Trunk or Treat coming up a week from tonight, the 31st, from 5 to 6:30. And the Gibson City Bible Church in Gibson City, of course, will be having a hallelujah party a week from tonight, October the 31st. They'll have free prizes, candy, a maze, face painting, a cake walk. I love cakes. A bounce house games, cookie decorating, and so forth and so on. That's coming up a week from tonight at the Gibson City Bible Church from 6:30 until 8. You can get more details on all the fall festival stuff coming up here the next week or so by visiting our event calendar page, greatnewsradio.org. That's greatnewsradio.org, and just click on events. Well, we have in studio today, I'm so excited about this. I've been looking forward to it all week. The favorite Bible teacher of mine that when I first became a Christian many years ago, he was the guy that I listened to when I became a Christian. Senior pastor, best-selling author, Dr. Charles Stanley. Brother, it is so good to have you with us today.
Well, thank you. It's good to be here.
Well, Dr. Stanley, your new book is called Emotions, Confront the Lies, Conquer the Truth. So what are the lies that you're referring to in the book?
Well, there's some very specific lies that people tell themselves. One of them is, I can't.
Yeah.
The second is, I just don't have the ability and the skill. That's not for me. I've always been an underdog. Besides that, I just don't have the abilities and skills that other people have. And God just didn't give me that ability. And, you know, when I grew up, things were tough, and I was second rate, and I've always been that way, and I just don't feel like God cares that much about me and that he loves me, that he has a purpose and plan for my life. In fact, the truth is I lie to myself about a lot of things according to the Scripture.
What are some of the emotions, the negative emotions, that grow out of these lies that we tell ourselves?
Well, one of them is fear.
A fear of what?
Fear of failure. Since I don't think I have the ability or capacity to do something, I'm afraid of failure. And secondly, that brings me to discouragement. If I don't think I can do it, I'm discouraged because other people do so well and I don't do very well. And so I'm discouraged about it. And have these inferiority feelings, and I have these feelings of failure, that I'm just not going to be able to make it. And I think a lot of people are self-defeatist. They defeat themselves in spite of everything that God has promised. He's promised to be with us in every circumstance and to enable us, in spite of them knowing that. Reading the Scriptures, somehow they just can't get over the fact that who they are and who they see themselves to be is really not the same.
Yeah, that is a great point, because I know a lot of people, Dr. Stanley, that struggle with that. So what about emotions like rejection and bitterness and guilt?
Those three are powerful emotions. The feeling of rejection, and I think you have to feel rejected by someone that's important or somebody you love to understand how a person feels. And I've talked to a lot of people down through the years who feel rejected by their parents, rejected by somebody they love, and it's self-defeating kind of attitude when God doesn't reject us. And even though I try to explain to them that God doesn't reject you, he loves you, he made you, and so as a result, whatever he called you to do, you'll be able to accomplish it. But as long as you feel rejected and unimportant, you find yourself struggling in every area of your life.
Well, friend, we're talking about emotions today with Dr. Charles Stanley, who's in studio. So great to be spending time with you today. And we're talking about emotions today. And Dr. Stanley, let's just say you've been around the block a couple of years now, and you've been around, and in your years as a pastor, I'm sure that you've seen many people, counseled many people whose emotions were getting the best of them. Is there an example that I guess maybe you can share personally with us?
Well, I've met a lot of people through the years whose emotions get the best of them. And there are people who are unhappy. They don't have any real peace in their heart, no real joy. And no matter how good you make it for them, they can't accept it. Deep down inside, they don't deserve it. And as a result, this cloud hangs over them. And in spite of all the good things that God is doing in their life, and all the things that God has promised, they can quote the scripture, they can say, yes, I believe that, but deep down inside, and over them hangs this cloud of doubt and fear and uncertainty and the possibilities of failure. The fear of failure is a powerful negative emotion.
Oh, that's so true. Is there an example from your own life when you yourself struggled with negative emotions that you couldn't figure out what the heart of it was? Can you share an example from your own life?
I'm sorry to say that I can. Yes, I can. And if somebody else had told me, I probably wouldn't have believed them. But, you know, I grew up in a church that taught you could fall from grace, for one thing. And so I grew up struggling with not being accepted by God because, as you know, as a kid growing up, you're not perfect by a long shot, and as a teenager. And so deep down inside of me, there was this feeling that I had to perform in order to get God to really love me. And, you know, I was preaching, and everything I did, God blessed it, and so I couldn't point my finger at anybody. It's like, if I could just blame somebody else, or say it was this and him or her or that, but I couldn't. And this just went on for years, and I'd go to a counselor once in a while and say, look, tell me what's going on in my life. And somehow, nobody quite got to it to help me to realize that I believed God loved me, I preached that He loved me, but if you ask me personally, do you experience the love of God? And I would have to have said, well, I hope so. I think so. Now, I could tell you strongly that God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. And then I think, well, Lord, what about me? So this went on for quite some time. Finally, I got to the point I thought, I've got to deal with this. So I thought about three friends of mine and another fellow that I had a lot of confidence in. And I thought, I've got to find out what's going on inside of me because I can't blame this on anybody but me. But I was dissatisfied, and I had all the reasons in the world to be happy, but I wasn't. So I called these four fellows and I asked them if they could meet me and where it would be convenient. So it was convenient for us to meet in Colorado. And we were all over the different parts of the country. And interesting enough, we could all meet on the following Monday, and I called them on Friday. So we met on the following Monday in one of their condos they had. And so after we got through our conversation a little bit, I said, here's what I want you to do. I'd like to tell you everything there is I know about me, and then whatever you tell me to do, I'm going to do, because in every area of my life, I've always been able to find God's will. And if I ask Him about something, sooner or later, I found it. So they said, okay. So I had a legal size sheet, and I started. I started with when I was born, and the first thing I remembered in life was sitting up in the bed, and this bedroom had wooden walls around it and a kerosene lamp on. I can still see that. I was so small, I don't remember anything from that for a long time, and I was crying with earache. So I was born with ache. Anyway, so I went from that to all that I could remember until we went to dinner. Went to dinner, came back, and we talked. I talked, they listened till 10 o'clock. And I mean, these four guys listened to me all those hours. So I went to bed. I had a legal size sheet, and I thought, well, whatever else I can think about that I may have forgotten, I'm going to tell them. So I woke up the next morning, because I'd woke up and then I'd go back to sleep. I had 17 pages legal size, things that I want to be sure to say to them. So we ate breakfast and we came back together, and we'd been sitting down maybe an hour talking, and I was going over some things, and one of these fellows just out of nowhere, he said, "Charles," he said, "put your head on the table and close your eyes." So I said, "Okay," so I did. He said, "Your father."
It's okay.
"Just picked you up in his arms and held you. What do you feel?" And I just broke out crying. I'm still crying. But I said, "I feel loved, warm, and accepted." And I broke out crying again. And we talked on for a while. And I think I realized for the first time in my life that I had never accepted God's love for me. I could tell everybody else about it, but not for me. So I went home and I had to start thinking about that. It took me a while for that to become real in my life. But what helped me was it pinpointed for me that all these years, experiences that I'd had and maybe difficulties and hardships and so forth, the root of it was my inability to acknowledge that God loved me. And I'll tell you, when I realized that, changed my whole attitude, changed my preaching, changed my attitude toward people. I began to recognize in other people what's going on deep down inside, and these emotions we have, when you think about it, they're uncontrollable. I mean, especially when you grow up and you're told you don't amount to anything, and my stepfather would say to me, "You need to go get yourself a trade," and this, that, and the other, and I can never remember him saying anything nice to me at all, and my mother loved me dearly, but I grew up in that negative attitude, and so if someone else had told me that, I probably would have defended myself, because I was strong, and I'd go get it, and when God told me, "You just don't believe I really love you," because the people around me hadn't shown me that necessarily. And I think we don't realize the awesome impact that a parent has on their children with things they say, like, "You'll never amount to anything. You'll probably end up in jail. Why don't you do this? Why don't you be like your brother, your sister?" And so it changed my whole attitude about myself. It changed my attitude about other people. It changed my feelings for people, that I could feel for people that before I could not feel for. In other words, I'd say, "Why don't you get your act together?" Well, the truth is, it took me years and years to get my own act together. So it softened me up.
Amen.
And made me much more effective. And I look back over the years and I think, "Lord," and yet I realize that out of my own brokenness came one book after the other. Forgiveness and adversity and all the rest. And I realize that these emotions are powerful. And if they're right, they're highly motivating. If they're all mixed up and if they're wrong and if something is missing and twisted, they can defeat a person, and that person can go through life wondering, "Why is this happening to me?" And oftentimes, if you blame someone else, you'll never get it straight. But you can look back and identify what contributed to it, but you have to take responsibility for it. So when you ask me my own personal experience about that, I would simply say, I learned a simple lesson that God loved me unconditionally. It's fantastic.
Yeah, amen. I appreciate you opening up in that area of your life. How did the truth of Scripture bring healing into that part of your life?
Well, I started reading the Bible differently. And the Scriptures that I'd preached to other people for years and years and years, and I think that includes me. And I began to search the Scriptures about every evidence of God's love, whether it was for David or Joshua or Paul and Peter and everybody else, and just reading the Scriptures and memorizing the Word, memorizing those verses that really stuck in my heart. And any time I would find myself regressing a little bit, I'd just go back to the Word and say, "Lord, here's what you said. I'm going to believe what you said no matter what I feel." And I began to realize that my feelings governed me more than I recognized.
Yeah, absolutely. Why is it that you think our experiences as children have so much power on the emotions that we have as adults today?
Because they begin back there when we have no defenses.
Wow.
Because a child just accepts. And if a father says to a child, "You'll never amount to anything. You don't count. You're just a problem." And it reminds me of a staff member that I had who was a very, very capable young man. And he came to me one day and he said, "Dr. Stan, I want you to make me assistant pastor." I said, "Make you assistant pastor? For what reason?" He said, "I just think I've been here long enough." He'd been about 2 years. "That I ought to be the assistant pastor." I said, "Well, I don't think so. But," I said, "I will think about it." I said, "Let's talk about that for a moment." And so I just began to talk, and I just began to ask him some questions. And finally I said, "Tell you what I'd like to do is just list some words. And if any of these words bother you, in other words, if you feel something as a result of one of these words, you stop me." He said, "All right." I said, "Authority." He said, "Stop." Very first word. That deep down inside of him, this authority issue was... So he felt like if he could become the assistant pastor, then he would be adequate and associate and so forth. Then I said, "Well, let's think about that for a moment." And so I said, "Well, tell me, how did you grow up?" And we got to talking about that. And then he said, "One day my mother and my dad were having a fight. And I was in the next room. And he said, I heard my mother say, 'Well, you know, we didn't want Joe anyway.'" And all these years he lived with that.
Yeah. Wow.
That his mother, the most precious person in his life, said he wasn't wanted. And he'd battle that. And to show you the power of emotion, he finally left the church, went to be pastor of another church. His baby drowned in the swimming pool. His wife left him, and he finally committed suicide. One statement from his mother destroyed that boy's future. He could preach. He was very smart, very intelligent about a lot of things. But one of those offhanded emotional feelings that she had, if she could have known what that was going to do to her son. And of course, she didn't know he was listening. So that's why I'd say to parents, you have to be very careful what you say. Because it's rooted in the beginning of their life. And so it's like it spreads all over your whole thinking and your whole being. And before long, that's the dominating thought in your life.
Oh, absolutely. In studio with Dr. Charles Stanley today, and in closing, Dr. Stanley, your book is called Emotions Confront the Lies, Conquer the Truth, and your latest book, Stores Everywhere and such. But what about that person, Dr. Stanley, that feels like they got it all together emotionally? They have a good sense of emotions. How could this book benefit them?
Well, first of all, I think one way is they can find some sense of identity, of reading and seeing what's going on in somebody else's life. They can think, well, how am I doing? In other words, everybody's going to find something in their life that they can improve on. And so also one of the best things about it equips us how to deal with other people. And we get together about different things, and eventually this little something will come out here and there, and you realize that they're dealing with something. They don't have the courage to say it. But then when you know how to deal with that, you can help them without them being embarrassed and saying, you know, here's what's going on in my life. Because men probably are more prideful about that than women are.
Oh, I don't know what you're talking about.
Anyway.
Yeah, right. Tremendous insight, Dr. Charles Stanley. Thank you so much for just spending some time with me today here on Great News Radio.
It's been my pleasure.
He proves he is love. Great is the Lord and
That's right. Great is the Lord, the Maranatha Singers, right here on the Thursday edition of Mark and Friends. And I do want to say thank you to Dr. Charles Stanley for joining me today. And thank you for listening. Thanks for letting me be part of your Thursday. You can find out more about this radio ministry by visiting our website, greatnewsradio.org. Until next time, friend, remember that you are salt and you are light, and you are the hands and feet of Jesus.